Footsteps of the Hermit with Larry Torres. The old priest feeds the hermit. Giovanni smiled to think that New Mexico chili recipes throughout the ages might be variations of the very one written down by a clustered nun centuries ago. All during the past Lenten season, he had seen this staple food braised with onion, fried potatoes, or egg souffles. Tortas de huevo, the people had called them. He had seen locals eat chili with beans, purslane, or wild spinach. It had been consumed with homemade bread and even with fish. "Come," said Father Vergara, "it is late in the evening and you must be hungry." Meekly did Giovanni follow the aged priest down, out into the churchyard and across the graveyard. They veered off to the right and came to a modest home that had an extraordinary collection of manuscripts and books. This was a rare fair feature from the other homes in the area, from what the hermit could see. The books were fairly large and some were so old that their pages were made of vellum and hand-stitched. He sat down quietly in front of a corner fireplace, and Father Vergara brought him a small bowl with a brownish paste in it. "Take this," he said. "It will stick to your bones." The hermit was expecting the food to taste salty, like beans or lentils. Instead, he detected the sensation of a sweet substance on his lips. It was pleasant. "What do you call this?" he asked.
"That is panocha," said the old priest. "It is one of the very few treats that we allow ourselves this far from Mexico City."
Giovanni took another bite and he rolled it about in his palate with the tip of his tongue. "This is good. What's it made out of?" he asked.
"What local women do," said the priest, "is to take wheat and soak it for 3 days while keeping it within a storage sack. Then they place the moist wheat, dear, to a fireplace where it is close to the heat. After another 3 days, the wheat begins to sprout right inside the sack. What the women will do next," he said, "is to take the wheat and to pulverize it into flour with a grinding stone called a metate. To this sprouted wheat flour they will add cold brown sugar brought all the way from Mexico City. This is hard sugar called piloncillo, which must also be powdered. They mix the flour and sugar together with a little bit of water and heat it up into a thick paste. Sometimes if they heat it up a little too much, a thick crust forms about the kettle. The children love this because they can carry it in their little hands and chew off and lick the pieces as they run around playing."
The hermit listened attentively to Father Vergara's narrative. "Are there any schools for children here?" he asked suddenly.
Yes, said the old priest. "The children are mostly instructed at home by their parents or maiden aunts. But mainly they learn about the past by looking at the paintings on the side panels in churches. For people who know the meanings of the obscure symbols, there is a lot to learn."
"But are there no seats of learning close by?" asked the hermit.
"Education is slow in coming, but it is coming," replied the older man. "Why, Padre Martinez himself brought a printing press into this village of Taos. On it he publishes grammar books for the children."
"You mean that he publishes grammar books for the boys," stated Giovanni.
"No, I mean for both boys and girls," corrected the old priest.
"Is there anything else that he prints?" asked Giovanni.
"Sometimes he prints catechism books as well," came the answer. "He hopes that someday there will be a seminary here in Taos where the children may be trained and educated for a life in the church."
"Has he already started doing this?" asked the hermit.
"He has 3 boys under his tutelage right now," said Father Vergara. "The most promising one of the 3 is a boy from the village of Arroyo Seco, named José Zambrano Tafoya."
The hermit jerked his head up abruptly and stared off into space. He was about to experience a revelation of things yet to come. You have been walking in the footsteps of the hermit with Larry Torres. Adios.